The first Sunday of Advent is a Sunday of hope. The candles that are lit, usually you'd see them of different colors, of pinks and violets and purples and whites. But the first candle is a candle of hope. It's called the prophet's candle. It causes us to look back at the prophets who never saw Christ, but heard from the Lord that He was coming. And they wrote down prophecies that were fulfilled. We can look back and say, if He was true then, He is true now. So we light the candle of prophecy. And that'll be the theme of our message today. Hope. Hope for your life. My heart breaks sometimes when I speak to people in their 20s and 30s about their take on the future. If ever there was a nihilist group of people, that generation is it. Who could blame them? Generation before could actually have a job that could provide for a home, and they don't think they can make enough money to actually buy their own home. They've given up on that. The interest rates go up, cost of living goes up, and their paychecks don't go nearly as far as it did last year. There's a proxy war in Ukraine with a nuclear power, threats of nuclear war and World War III are on the horizon. Anyone who has any understanding of Middle East history and the situation in Israel, seeing a war in Israel right now surrounded by the terrorists, causes concern. This aging generation that even now maybe you in your 60s are recognizing that your next 10, 15 years may be caring for someone in long-term care. The handwriting is on the wall for them that they'll likely be caring for an older parent. Financial stressors are bringing a lot of marriages to test, households breaking apart. And witness everyone drawing lines in the sand, finding somehow to find someone who will be an enemy. Where's the hope? Where's the joy? Oh, how sometimes I wish I could go back to the six-year-old and I was hoping for Christmas presents and the Christmas program that we were up there and dressed like little shepherds saying lines, and there's a season of excitement, and don't witness that much anymore. What is hope? Is it something you desire? Something you long for to happen? Sometimes it's called a feeling of trust. But who do you trust? What can you expect? Where do we place our trust when it seems like every agency, every institution that we leaned on in the past is just letting things fall through its fingers? Advent reminds us that we're not alone. It's the arrival of Emmanuel. And that means God is with us. That no matter what transpires in human history, His presence is there. Look at Hebrews 1, if you wouldn't mind. It's a launching verse. Our text today is going to be out of Luke predominantly, but this is really the thrust of where I want to launch from. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being. Listen to this. Sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. But sustaining all things by His powerful word. Today is a message of hope. And because it's a prophet's candle, I want to take a look at some prophets of the Old Testament, prophets in the time of Christ, and what that means for us today in regard to His presence in our life and what hope that might bring. So let's take a look first at the prophets of the Old Testament. And Lady Esther, thank you for reading the verses. Throughout this month, you're going to hear a lot of the prophetic verses that were fulfilled in the time of Christ. But if we look at the prophets of old, we know that they can give us hope. There's a linear timeline that we see in some of these prophecies that we know that are true. And when we say that they said something and it came true in the time of Christ, we go, wow, well, what is one of those things? Well, we see in the Old Testament prophets that they declaring a linear timeline of when that time might come. In Daniel 9, it says that it's after the rebuilding of the temple, which took place with the second temple being built. So we knew it had to take place after that. It had to come after the advent of Rome. Daniel 9 and Genesis 49 talked about the scepter not departing from Judah until this nation, empire, comes in. But it also said it has to come before the destruction of the temple. After the building of the temple, after Rome came, but before the destruction of the temple. So they laid out a timeline. Daniel 9:26, and it talks about that. The prince who is to come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The prophets also dealt with Jesus' lineage. Abraham's seed, Isaac, Jacob's offspring, Judah, Jesse, David. All of these were verses, and you have them in your notes. Out of Genesis and out of Isaiah and 2 Samuel and Jeremiah, speaking of His lineage, all of which came true. The prophet Isaiah speaks about a lady that was going to be chosen. What type of lady? What was going to be a virgin, which would conceive, which is miraculous. And we see that to be true as the Gospels present that to be true in the angel's appearance to Mary. The prophets talked about a location. The location itself was determined 900 years prior to the coming of Christ. Out of Bethlehem, in Micah, 500 years prior, that He was going to come out of Bethlehem. Hosea says He's going to come out of Egypt. So we know the locations, and this is spoken centuries before its fulfillment. They say labels are going to be ascribed to this person. Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Son of God. These are Old Testament prophecies spoken by David, spoken by the prophets. And indeed, that took place in the person of Christ. So we see these prophets of old. I want to talk to you a little bit about mathematics. This, I'm hoping, will bring about a trust and a hope that God will come through for you today. And on the screen above, you're going to see 10 over the power of 50 and 10 with the power of 157 zeros beyond it. Something to understand, that 10 to the power of 50 is known in mathematics as something that will not happen, unlikely to happen. Think about it for a second, that 400 years ago, and I've mentioned this several years ago, that somewhere along the line, an archaeologist discovers in Mexico a scroll. And they pull out this scroll, And this is, let's say it's from the Aztec era, and we're a long time ago. And the scroll speaks about a man named George Washington. That he was going to break an empire and become the leader of one of the greatest empires. And it even speaks to where he was born. Can you imagine the prophetic dynamic of something like that? Or to say, somewhere in Idaho, a little town of Idaho Falls, a guy named David was going to be born. And then he would move to Seattle and live out a life as a pastor. It means it's absurd to think that someone can know that 1,000 years before outside of some influence taking place. But 10 with the power of 50, the probabilities are so small that it's impossible to think that they will ever occur. But just 8 prophecies to be fulfilled is 10 with 17 zeros. Okay, I can live with that. But there, how about 48 prophecies? 48 prophecies fulfilled in one person is 10 with 157 zeros. Not 50. 157 zeros. That's just if you're taking a look at 48 prophecies. Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies. Let it sink in. That the crazy thought that centuries before, individuals underneath divine influence wrote about the coming Messiah, and there are 300 of these prophecies, and they all were fulfilled. The mathematic possibilities are unfathomable. It's miraculous. And we can say, hey, if God was true to bring about what he said then, can we trust him for today? If he kept his promises in all of that in the coming of Christ, can we trust him for his promises for us today? Well, the answer is yes, thank you. I mean, I'm not asking for crazy faith. I'm not looking for a blind leap of faith. It's a logical, rational step. Yes, faith in God. But there is ample reason to believe in God and trust in God. It is not a fool's errand. Well, let's take a look at the prophets surrounding the coming of Jesus. And there are three I'd like to speak of today, one of which is John. We call him the baptizer. He was prophesied to come in Isaiah 40, the one who was to prepare the way of the Lord. We see the angel coming to John's dad, telling him that he was going to fulfill this. In Matthew 3, he does fulfill it. We see in Matthew 11 that Jesus ascribes him as a prophet, one of the greatest men to ever live. And here's John, the prophet, before he sees the light of day, when his mother Elizabeth sees the pregnant Mary, that John leaps in the womb. The prophet John saw even in the womb and recognized the presence of the divine one, the Messiah, and leapt in the womb. His life, when he pointed to Christ, he said, "There's the Lamb of God to be slain. I'm not worthy to untie and tie his shoes. I baptize with water. He'll baptize you with fire." John's hope was in the Messiah. He placed his hope in Jesus. Even in his dark hours, he called out and sent guys and says, "Hey, are you the one? Remind me if you're the one." He said, "You've seen what I've seen." And I'm sure John was encouraged before he went to his death. But he had prepared the way. We can look at something that transpires 8 days after the birth in two individuals. One is an elderly man named Simeon, who sees the hope and sees salvation. Look with me, if you would, at Luke 2. So there's a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who is righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Simeon. We know he was just. He was devout. That means he loved God and was true to God and followed God. Wasn't a perfect man, but he served the Lord. Some people think he was a priest. We don't know much about that. Probably just a common average man, but he'd got a word from the Lord. We would call this a prophetic word in today's New Testament lingo. The Holy Spirit came to him and spoke a word to him. He held it true for himself, and as a result of that, he responded by daily coming to the temple, because on the eighth day, every Hebrew boy had to come to the temple for the rites of purification, for Mary, for the child. So he was there every day waiting to see the consolation of Israel. You know that consolation? It means comfort in sorrows. I don't know what sorrow he saw every day of his life. They were a land that was under the rule of Rome. The Roman soldiers treated them all poorly. They could be taken and made to walk a mile, 2 miles. They had to do anything. They were basically slaves in their own country to the Roman Empire. What things had he personally gone through? I don't know. But Israel was not in a great place. But he went and waited for the comfort that would come in sorrow. We could learn something about that. That day in and day out, that we wait on the Lord. For what? Comfort in our sorrow. The way has been prepared for you. Christ is now here, imminent. It was prophets of old in various ways, but Jesus himself is now revealed to you that you might have and know the comfort in your sorrow. This is hope for your life. And some of you are going through sorrow. You've lost loved ones this year. Some of you have loved ones in the hospital, even on hospice. Some are in the hospital long term and have been there for months. May not have been your hallmark year. You need the consolation. You need the comfort. You need the hope in the midst of your sorrows. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. It would speak a word into him. And that word caused him to live a life that was focused on God. Oh, my friend, Jesus said he gives you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you when you give your life to Christ, that you might have comfort. He is called the Comforter. Yes, you'll go through sorrows. You'll go through struggles. The world around you may go in turmoil like it has since the beginning of time. Empires taking over empires. Peoples being conquered. Persecution. Death. But the Holy Spirit is in you to bring you comfort. Consider this. God's plan is not going to follow the usual script. It wasn't the priest that got this. It wasn't the king that got this. It was a regular Joe who just loved God, who got a word from God that brought comfort, and God gave it to him. This is for you. This is for me. The regular person can be comforted. Luke 2 says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." As I look in this church, I see faithful men like Simeon. You love the Lord. You follow Him. You are devout. You're not in the pulpit. You're not priests. You've worked a career in the secular field, and yet you have followed and served the Lord. Might I suggest to you that your walk of justness and devoutness will be answered if you listen to the Holy Spirit in all of your times of trouble, that He is your salvation every single day. So I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't know how to take care of my family. I've got health issues with my siblings and my wife, my spouse. How do I do this? Would you lean into Christ? Would you show up in obedience because He has said, I will comfort you? Will you take that comfort in hand? And not just you men, but you women. You're faithful. You're devout. You love the Lord. Do not be dismayed. You go through sorrow, you go through struggle, but you have a hope in this life, a help in this life. You say, well, He hasn't healed me. Yes, but He's still with you. I want Him to heal you. There must be a reason you're not healed. Do you think that the answer here for the Jewish people was that He was going to come and they would no longer be under Roman rule? This was their prayer. The healing they wanted was that they might become a nation. They would not be oppressed anymore by any other empire. Assyrian, Babylonian, Greek, Roman. They were tired of it. They wanted their own entity. They were looking for a Davidic king to come. Reestablish the days of David and Solomon. Their prayer was not answered. But the prayer they needed to ask and did not ask was answered. Healing for their souls. Hope for their days. We see in the same text, not just this man, we've seen John, we see Simeon, and now we see this lady named Anna. Elderly lady. And her hope in God causes her to worship and to wait. Look at Luke chapter 2. 37 and 38 says, and then a widow, until she was 84, she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The scripture calls her a prophetess. She's heard from the Lord. She's there. She's a prophet. She recognizes this child. The Lord God illuminates this child. Says, that's the one. And she comes. And you can read the text how beautiful it is for both her and Simeon and their response to this couple. But being a prophetess, her hope keeps her close to God. She is in communication with the Lord. Let me suggest to you that one thing we can do in the presence of God in our daily life is to come close to Him on a regular basis. Your day needs to be steered by your trust in the Lord. For them, it was to show up every day at the temple. For you, it's every day be the temple. You take the temple where you go. Be attuned to the fact that you are filled with the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to those about you. That comfort He offers you is to be offered to those around you. And we worship Him. We wait for Him. But this has got to keep you close to the Lord. It says she's from the tribe of Asher. These are outsiders. In fact, tribe of Asher is actually a foreigner in the country or the nation of Israel when this prophecy is given and the nation of Asher is broken up in the northern and southern kingdom. She's an outsider. But because the Lord uses her, we know there's a hope for the outsider. You may think you've never fit in. You never make friends easy. But you're alone. You're the oddball. You're the outcast. The family black sheep. I'm here to tell you that the Lord can speak to you. The Lord can bring hope to you. It says she was a widow. I mean, she has no other hope other than God. We have a lot of widows in our church. Now, whether she has been a widow for 84 years or she is 84 years old, we don't know. But let's just say if she was widowed for 84 years, she may very well be 100. Well, we've got a 100-year-old lady right in our church today, Thelma. And she's here every Sunday, loving the Lord. But you widows know that you're longing for something and the paycheck only has so much and you have a fixed economy and you're needing family to help. And if the family's not there, you need outside help. She had no help other than God. And God met her because she was looking forward to redemption. Interesting enough about this lady is outside of the shepherds who went and told everybody, she becomes the first evangelist. She has this hope and knows this hope needs to be given to others, so she goes and tells people. That very hour she began to give thanks to God and she began to speak of Him to all. Wow. The Bible exalts women. You're not on the outside. But listen, in spite of her circumstances, in spite of her singleness, in spite of the corruption around in the religious system, in spite of the empire of Rome oppressing the situation of her people, she placed her hope in a Messiah. Now, these are prophets around Jesus' day. Let's bring it to today, you and me. And each one of these points can be brought to you and I, and we can take a look at them and say, yes, I'm going to draw near to Him. I'm going to look for His comfort as I have spoken today. But Advent is about the arrival of Christ. It's about Christmas. Christmas. And I believe that just the idea of Christmas should give us hope for life. I do a lot of study on this, and there's all kinds of speculation on this, and whether December 25th is the day, likely is not. Probably takes place, his birth probably takes place in late March and April, because of the tending of the lambs, for the Passover, and it's too cold in Bethlehem for this, and you can calculate that with also some celestial events taking place in 5 and 4 BC with stars and different things that we could take a look at. But the beauty of not knowing this, is it December 25th? Is it March 21st, 5 BC? When was it? It doesn't matter because Christmas means Christ's day. And every day is Christ's day. You may not be thinking about what's going to go into stocking stuffer every single day in July. But you can certainly think about the power and the life of Christ, that day is for Him, and in Him we can do all things who gives us strength. Fascinating in that day, no one was ready for this. All the prophecies pointed to this, but they weren't ready, they weren't looking, they weren't aware. They weren't ready for the Messiah to be born. Herod was caught off guard. The rich and the powerful had no clue as to what was going on. The ruling powers in Rome didn't care. They had no clue. Even the religious elites of Jerusalem in the temple did not see the significance about that baby. They had no expectation of a Messiah that was being lived out. And we can learn something from them to say, hold it. They didn't care. They weren't looking. It was not on their radar. And yet the Lord came. And it teaches me that I want to be aware. I want to be ready. I want to be waiting. I want to be in the moment. Today is Christ's day. And that is significant to me. That I have hope. We have to live each day So friend, why should you place your hope in Jesus if you have not? And if you have in years gone by, and yet His presence seems distant to you in recent days, maybe consider something about the way being prepared for you, the prophecies fulfilled to you, the salvation presented to you, the redemption offered to you, the comfort given to you. It's return. Why place your hope in Jesus? Because He is true to His word. He has come through and He will come through. You need to land on the promises of God, not deflect them and say, that's not for me, that's not for me. These promises are for all who would come to Him. Astronomical odds fulfilled. You know why? Because God is God and there is none other. He is the Creator and there is no other. And He can say, let there be light, and all things come into existence. Let the earth bring forth. Let the water bring forth. Let man come forth, and I breathe my spirit in him, made in my image. Go ye. God speaks and things happen. It's the sonic divine boom of His voice. So He speaks His word that comes true. Duh. Of course. God's not a man that He would lie. He speaks truth, and we can hold to that truth. And friend, if you want hope for your life, you've got to start believing in the hope and the truth of the Scripture and the nature of God who will not forsake you. You are not forsaken. Cling to Him. Why place your hope in Jesus? Because He's the true light of the world. John points to Him and says, there's the light of the world. I'm not the light. I prepare for the light. He shines into darkness. He'll shine into your darkness. He will cleanse you of the unrighteousness. In the very dark moments of your life, you need a candle. You need something that's going to show you the way. A light for your path. Why place your hope in Jesus? Because He's the salvation you've been seeking. No one uses that term salvation much anymore other than the church. But indeed, just about everybody is looking for something or someone or some way to save them from their situation. To move them from point A to point B, some better situation, some internal hope, some care for self that's not there, some healing from self-loathing of depression, something that is a bright future that's not this present. The world is looking for something, and maybe you've been seeking something. I'm here to tell you that what you're seeking and you may not have known is the salvation that Jesus will bring to you. Why place your hope in Jesus? And I have mentioned this throughout the entire message, is that He's the comfort for all who would call on Him. My heart breaks when I see people in turmoil. Turmoil happens to the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. And I have witnessed identical stories of loved ones going to eternity with those who trust is in the Lord and those who have no hope in the Lord. And let me tell you that the experience is the same externally, but it's not the same internally. The peace that rides through the storm of death in the one who calls Christ his Lord is rich and comforting in the darkest moment. And for the one who does not know the Lord, it is terror and brokenness and trauma that can shake a family. You need to place your hope in Christ because he'll bring comfort. Don't you need it? I know I do. Finally, why place your hope in Jesus? And I love this because he will always be with you. You will never be alone. In those quiet, dark moments at night when the tears are flowing and no one seems to be around, no one understands, you don't even feel compelled or have strength to reach out to another. You're not alone. Therein lies the word, that title that was given him, Emmanuel, God with us. You will never be alone again. He visits our low estate. He sees the brokenness of our life. He sees your darkest sorrow. And he's with you. You say, oh, I've called out on God many times and I still feel alone. Well, it might be something in the connection. He's not far from you. Something in you that must place your faith, place your hope, place your trust in that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Enough said. He prepares a table for you. You can make it through it. I'm going to ask for you to pray. And you may not have given your heart to the Lord ever in your life. And this may be the first introduction you've had to life in Christ. And you've experienced several things today. One of which is a people who wants to sing their praise to God out of thanksgiving. Second, a people who acknowledge a price that was paid for them and live in the moment of that sacrifice being rich to their souls. And this word of truth that shows you the absolute ability of God to bring about the miraculous, that his word is true for you. That not just the birth was prophesied, but his death, burial, and resurrection was prophesied. His ascension was prophesied. Victory over death was prophesied. Salvation for your soul, if you would come. So if today the Lord's spoken to you, it's just moving into another camp. You've been in the camp of the world. You need to come into the camp of God by acknowledging his love for you, that you have a need for salvation in him, that he made that way for salvation in Jesus, and placing your trust in him, confessing him as Lord. I pray that you do that today. But many of you I know, and I've known you for decades now, I know you love the Lord and you are devout and you are just and you worship and you fast and you pray and you seek. Let me say, do not cast off the comfort, the redemption, the salvation in the moment of your need. Because he is hope for your life. He's hope in your life. That every day is Christ's day. Pray with me. Father, we come before you, giving you first thanks for your word and the fact that it's true. We thank you that you sent Christ Emmanuel, God with us, that we might not be alone. And I pray today that in the hearts of each person, whether they have never known you or they have wandered from you, or even in their soul they are feeling distant from you, that right now Advent would take place. Arrival. Their awareness of your presence, Lord God, that transforms us from broken to beautiful, from ashes to anointing, from sinner to saint. We give our lives to you. We draw near to you. May our days be kept with our eyes upon you, and that everywhere we go, we acknowledge that you are with us. We are not alone. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friend, if you've made a decision for the Lord, in your bulletin there is a cutout. If you do, me the honor of making a mark there and put it in the box back there, that'll come to me. I want to reach out, pray for you, help you in your walk with the Lord, your growth in the Lord. If you've got any address changes or information changes, we'd like everyone to fill out one of these things and put it there, because we're going to be putting together our directory, and we need to know if your emails have changed, addresses or numbers have changed, or life situation has changed. We'd appreciate that. And as you go out today, there's also the way you can give your offerings if you choose to do so. Online, there's a way to send in your offerings if you choose to do so. All of the proceeds that come in go to ministry. We have missionaries, we have our partners, we have the work around here at the church, our food drive, everything. Everything takes place, and it all comes from the hands of your generous giving as the Lord leads you to give. Would you stand with me today? There is going to be caroling this weekend. Do we know the day? At what time? Contact Leslie. All right. Well, we're going to try to hit all the shut-ins. So if you like to sing, you want to be a part of that, it's Saturday, we'll send out a note, or you can call the church to find out the exact time to hit. So we want to enjoy that and sing for some people and bring some light into their life. Friends, as you go out today, remember that you are Christ's ambassadors to this world. So what are we supposed to do? Be good ones. All right, God bless you.